chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's read verses 14 through 16 here. And the title of the message today is Lighthouses. Lighthouses. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further today. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to come here, to open the Word of God, and to examine and to tour, to look at and consider the things, Lord, that are said in your blessed book. And we just pray that you'd bless that today as we read your words from out of Matthew and the words of instruction that are given to us here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we just pray for your blessings that what is done would glorify your precious name. Lord, we look to you for guidance today and look to you for the light that we stand in need of. And we pray that you might bless us, that as we're encouraged in this passage of Scripture to let our light shine before others, we just pray for your blessings and your grace to sustain us and to strengthen us, and Lord, to help us to do that in whatever avenue that you might lead us to be a testimony to others for. In Jesus' name, amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Been thinking about the darkness that comes on our lives sometimes, and the darkness of the folks that are in Dayton and are in El Paso at this time, many of whom have lost the dearest person in their life to them. And maybe it was a close friend, maybe it was their mother, it may have been their father, it may have been their brother or sister, maybe it was their son or daughter or their grandchild, maybe it was great-grandchild, but maybe it was their husband or their wife or their boyfriend or girlfriend, but they lost the dearest person. Some of them lost the dearest person in their life, and that is an incredibly dark time, I can tell you by experience. But my God is not a God of hopelessness, nor is he a God of frustration. He is the God of all comfort and peace and hope. And we intend to talk some today about lighthouses. I've started a collection. So if you see one at your local Goodwill or thrift shop or something like that, and it's next to nothing in price, then I'll pay you for it if you get it for me. But I got a collection of lighthouses, and because I am interested, and I, aside from being something of a nautical novelty to me, they bear with them a significant meaning, and I want to explore that just a little bit today as we look to the Scripture here and thinking about how, in a way, that we are to be lighthouses for others. First of all, what we'll look at and we'll consider is what do lighthouses do for people? What do lighthouses do for people? Second thing is we'll notice, what does shining our lights before others do for people? In other words, make an application there as to how it applies to us as the Lord is speaking about our testimony. And then finally, what it is to be a lighthouse. What it is to be a lighthouse. And so I want to think about these three things. And first, what do lighthouses do for people in general? Then what shining our light before others do for people? And then finally, what is it to be one? What is it to be a lighthouse as it might apply to our own personal lives? So first of all, what do lighthouses do for people? You know, people go on vacation sometimes and are going little trips just to see lighthouses sometimes. And there are times where as a family, I recall times when we were in Minnesota going up to the north shore of Lake Superior for that reason, to go up and it is to get away more than anything else, but it would be to go up, and it might be in the autumn, when in the fall, whenever the leaves are starting to change and the north shore of Lake Superior becomes just a fire engine of all kinds of colors, and it's just absolutely beautiful during the autumn months. But as well, it was always interesting and intriguing to me as we drove up on the north shore to see especially the one lighthouse. It's a prominent place, a prominent location. It's called the Split Rock Lighthouse, and it's a beautiful place, and it's an intriguing situation. I remember one time we went through, took the kids through all the little buildings around it, where that the people that worked at the lighthouse would stay, and it's historic. It's a historic place, historic kind of a monument now. There are others, but it is a noteworthy lighthouse. It's a true lighthouse, and there are other lighthouses around the country and around the world that are just a beautiful thing to see, even if you're on the shore and you're looking at. In fact, I'd rather be on the shore to look at the lighthouse than be in trouble or something, you know, and have it serve its normal purpose. But a reminder of sometimes of certain past experience. Some people have had experiences where that a lighthouse was beneficial and a lighthouse caused a good thing. And sometimes it's just an education. Some people go and they look at the lighthouse and they're just kind of learning what it's about and why it's needed and what it is. It's an educator of the general conditions, in a sense, of the sea. Of Lake Superior, a very huge lake, largest in North America, the man-made lakes, and largest of the Great Lakes. But general conditions, just you learn of the general conditions of the sea. What do lighthouses do for people? Well, mainly, when in a violent storm, perhaps in the dark of night, they are warnings, first of all, of impending danger. That's true. But also, they are also a comfort, a relief, a peace, and even a joy to those people who have been either trapped in a storm, have no sense of direction, and have lost their bearings. They've lost their way, and as a result can see that light that's shining from that lighthouse, and can end up being a tremendous comfort, a tremendous relief, tremendous peace, a tremendous joy. So what do those lighthouses do for people? They do some things. They're designed for a purpose, and all these little lighthouses that I have, there's different ones, and they're models of different lighthouses from different places, and I'm sure some of them are just made up. Some of them they just come up with. Some artist says, hey, you know, this would be a neat looking white lighthouse, and so they put one together, and that's all good. It's all well and good, but they do serve a purpose. They do serve a great purpose for people. Next thing, what does shining our lights before others do for people? What does it do for people? You know, just as I said, that it sometimes is just for me it's a novelty. For me it's collecting these silly little lighthouses. But also, it's also something that, as we said, was interesting, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a It's good to look at it, and especially if you have experienced a deliverance from through the lighthouse, then it ends up having a special significance to you. And it is something that's beautiful. It's a beautiful sight for believers from the shore or in the storm to be reminded of the light that in a storm, in difficult times, in a very desperate time, that was shined unto us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. We read a passage of scripture here that deals with this. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, start with verse 4. In whom, he says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Unbelievers are in darkness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach, Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're just the lighthouses, if you will, Paul would say. We're just the servants. We're preaching the light, the glorious light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. For God who, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, where there was darkness, he commanded the light to shine, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. A lighthouse, in one sense, is just a functional bearer of light. It's just a functional, it's designed and it's arranged so that the function will have its maximum benefit, its maximum effect. It has a certain height to it. The light is not down in the bottom. The light is up in the top. The light is up there where that it will be the most prominent. It will be seen. It will bear that light. It will beam that light. As we sang the song, "Let the lower lights be burning." It'll beam that light across the sea. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And we see that very light is the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul is referring to here in this passage. And so it's a beautiful sight for believers to see the testimony, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful sight for believers to experience and to go back again and again and again back to that lighthouse. It's a good thing to go back again and again and again to hear the testimony of the gospel of Christ, to hear others share their testimony of Christ, and therefore, to some extent, as we think about that, It is a good thing that we would have a testimony and that we would be light bearers that the scripture is talking about, if you will, here in Paul's writings. Also, what does it do? What does shining our lights do before others? Well, it does warn others of peril ahead. There have been ships that have sunk and that have broken up against the rocks because there was no lighthouse. Because there was a rocky area that just was not lit up, and there was no warning that they would hit the rocks. You know, sometimes the lighthouse just can't be seen until just very, very late. But there's a warning that the lighthouse gives, and it's warning others of peril ahead, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is that as well. And the light that we are to shine forth, the light in the sense of the law of God even, that's to be shined forth by us, that we are to testify of, that we are to warn other people about the pending danger, about the peril that is ahead. What is our Don't just shine in our lights before others do for people. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ultimately, it's the glory of God. Ultimately, we want folk to glorify God. And we know that when we were saved by the grace of God, when the light shined in our hearts, it caused that we would be those who could glorify God. We became worshipers of God. But then also, as we said, that a lighthouse does for people. Shining our lights before others does the same thing. In darkness, in the most confusing times and storms in our lives, even as believers, it gives people, it gives us hope and direction. A testimony of the goodness of God, of the attributes of God, of the workings of God's grace, of the workings of His providence. In darkness and confusing times, storms of doubt, storms of trouble and struggle that we go through, they do give hope and direction. Acts chapter 27, verse number 20, our shining our light before others can be a tremendous encouragement and a blessing to other folk, especially to other saints of God, sometimes to other people who the Lord is bringing unto Himself. But Acts chapter 27 and verse number 20. Acts 27, 20. We've looked at this not too long ago as we're looking at a message from out of this passage concerning this particular storm that the Apostle Paul went through on his way to Rome. But in Acts chapter 27 and look at what verse 20 said. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. What's sun and stars? Well, they're light for one thing, right? I mean, it's light. Sun and stars are light, but they're also a navigation. They're also the means of navigation. I mean, the earliest sailors used the sun and the stars and the moon as navigation devices, and knowing that, okay, that's the direction. You know, this is a certain time of the day. I know it's evening, and so I think if I'm right, I'm headed west. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So, you know, having no light and being in darkness and being in a terrible tempest, as he's speaking about here, you know, that's a very good example of sometimes what happens in our lives. Sometimes our lives can be really tossed and driven, and our life can be something that's confusing and disheartening, and we go through times in life that are extremely discouraging and extremely hard to accept and hard to deal with and hard to come to grips with. Even as God's people, we come through those very, very dark, difficult times. And the Lord brings us through them. And we might theologically say we can trust the Lord and we know He's going to bring us through them, but it doesn't make it any easier when you're going through it. It doesn't make the storm any easier when the Lord is saying you're going to go through this storm. It doesn't make it easy. It's not. It isn't something that that the confusion and the hardship and the hurtfulness and the mental anguish that accompanies the storms of our lives can be incredible. Can be incredible. And so when you think about this passage as to that light and that light that Paul that Jesus is talking about, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That testimony that the Lord has given to each one of us as to how that He has worked in our lives, how He has done what He has done in our lives, how He has accomplished wonderful things in us. What is it to be a lighthouse? What is it to be that? It's to be like, first of all, it's to be like, as we said, the Apostle Paul is talking about the glorious gospel of Christ, and he says, hey, I'm just an earthen vessel. I got this treasure in the earthen vessel. I got this light that's far above and beyond me that I'm shining forth, and that's all I am is just a vessel. John the Baptist was such a vessel, just simply pointing others to Christ. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 16. John chapter 1 and verse number 6. And here's the light. The light of the world is who? Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You see, he was to be like a light bearer. He's to be that lighthouse, if you will, John the Baptist was. That was the true light. Christ was the Son of God that cometh into the world, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but, as he says here in verse 13, but of God. And then verse number 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the brightness, the shining, if you will. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And what did it look like? Full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh before me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And so he says, the Apostle John writes about John the Baptist here, and he says, well, John the Baptist was that instrument that God used to declare the truth and his grace, to demonstrate his grace and his truth. Until Christ came, he was to point others to Jesus Christ. He's the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Just pointing folks to him, to the Savior, to the Lord Jesus. And so what is it to be a lighthouse? Well, in one sense, the word, one part of being a lighthouse is being an instrument in that sense of Christ. It's allowing others to see your good works. Being a lighthouse, it's you're not much of a lighthouse if you can't be seen, if you can't be witnessed, if somebody can't go and see that. It's allowing others, as I said, it's allowing others to see your good works. The scripture said, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And so a part of that responsibility is to allow our testimony to have a visual effect upon other people, for it to have an experimental effect, an experimental impact on others. And how do you do that? Well, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Your good works. What are you doing when you're letting your light so shine? You're not boasting, you're not bragging. What you're doing when you're letting your light so shine is doing those humble works. It's simply doing those works that others might see and others might glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Jesus would talk about how that when you do things to be seen of men, that you already have your reward. So he discourages that, but he encourages the good works that others might see. And he says, we need to be that light. We need to shine forth that light. It's a testimony. It's allowing others to see your good works. It is also, when you, what is it to be a lighthouse? It's resonating the glories of God's amazing attributes. The light is what's shining forth. John the Baptist said, I'm not the light. I was sent to bear witness of the light, but I'm not the light. I'm not the light. He's the light. The one that comes after me is mightier than I. He's mightier. He's powerful. He's someone who has the ability to do anything. He is wise. He is all wise. He is the when we shine forth his attributes, we're trusting in his wisdom. You say, it's so hard to understand why God would take my dearest friend. It's hard for those folks in El Paso. It's hard for those folks in Dayton, Ohio, to go through a time when they're losing someone so dear to them. But it's good to know that he's all wise. It's good to know that God is a God of immaculate wisdom, and that his wisdom is so far beyond our understanding, and that what he does well. He does well. His sovereignty in all things, his wisdom, he's wise in everything, but his sovereignty, that the light of God's, the glory of God and his sovereignty would shine forth, that other people could see and could say, you know what? You just are a person, and doing what you do and living the life that you live, you're just a person that has this infectious trust in the sovereignty of God. That he is so wise and he knows exactly what he's doing in our lives. To be that kind of a testimony. That he's powerful. He can do anything. I know he can do anything. I trust he can do anything. I don't deserve anything, but I know he can do everything. He can do everything. His goodness. To have a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. To be shining forth, to be that lighthouse, shining forth the goodness of the Lord, how good he is to us. Not that he's treating me wrong, that he's good. That he's so abundantly good to us in our lives. That he is so patient. A testimony of the patience of God. Hey, I was a rebel. Hey, I was walking away from God. I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. I was totally away from him. And continued in that state. And he didn't give up on me. He didn't stop. He was patient with me. He's an amazingly patient God. He's amazingly merciful. We get far more than we deserve. We are delivered from so much what we deserve. He's so merciful to us. His grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I got enough. I got what you need. You can trust me. His love, an undying love, a love that we just got through saying there is a man that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a love that's an undying, unquenchable, unfathomable, and undeserved, and totally unjustified in many times, unqualified, unreserved love that the Lord has for us, and that we bear witness of, and that we testify of, and that we say whenever we just show forth a little bit of hope and a little bit of consolation in other people's lives, and we seek to point them to the Lord. Point them to the source. Point them not to be the source, not to be the one that can be a comfort to them, but to show them the one that can be, to shine the light of the glory of God in the person, in the face of Jesus Christ. His faithfulness. God is so faithful. Oh, God was so faithful to me. I've been praying and praying, and it seemed like the Lord was never going to answer, and yet he did, and he has, and he is good, and he is faithful. He loves us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't cast us aside. The faithfulness of God is something that we as the people of God can boast in, can rejoice in, can put it up there in that tower of the lighthouse of our lives. But it is to encourage others. What is it to be a lighthouse? It is to encourage others to cry unto the Lord. It's to encourage others to know that there is a source for help. And he is the creator of the universe. It is to be an encouragement to others to consider him, to consider our Savior, to consider, to give consideration to, and to say with John, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, but also to say, behold the God of the universe who can do everything, and that there's nothing too hard for him. In Psalm 120, in verse number 1, we read a passage here, Psalm 120. And it's interesting the location of this passage. In the providence of God, God saw to it that the 120th psalm would come after what psalm? Well, the 119th psalm, obviously, if you know your numbers, if you can count. But what psalm is the 119th psalm? The 119th psalm is all about, it is that long, 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 long psalm that is all about the Word of God. It's all about God speaking to us. It's all about what God has to say to us. He has so much to say to us. He speaks and his words are so wonderful. His words are such a treasure to us as God's people. And we read through that psalm and we see, oh, the word of God and how wonderful it is and what a treasure it is and how great it is. And then Psalm 120 and verse 1, the very next verse after Psalm 119 says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. He heard me. You know, the Lord's speaking in Psalm 119 saying to us, you need to hear me. You need to be listening to me. You need me. You need desperately. You need my word. You need my strength. You need my judgments. You need my direction. You need my peace. You need my consolation. You need my joy. You need me. And the very next word is, in my distress. Here I am. In my distress. Here I am out on life's sea. Out in the storm, in the hardest place, perhaps, that I've ever been. With a loss that I feel like I cannot sustain. I cried unto the Lord. And he heard me. It's to encourage others to be that lighthouse that we're talking about here in this passage. To let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. To glorify our Father which is in heaven. To honor him. To encourage others to cry unto the Lord. context here. Hear God's word, but cry unto the Lord. Cry unto him, and he'll hear you. He'll hear me. And how desperately sometimes the Lord brings us to those places where we so desperately need him, and we need to cry out, and he hears us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you today with grateful hearts for your faithfulness and for your love and for your mercy and for the way that you do care for us in our lives. And we just pray that you might just speak to our hearts. Those who have endured great affliction, going through terrible troubles in this life, and that recently, those folk, Lord, that have endured the shootings, some that are still recovering, that have injuries, serious injuries, some, Lord, that have lost something more precious than can even be imagined. And we just pray for them. Ask you to comfort them, Lord, as you're the God of all comfort. Give them peace. Give them direction. Lord, help them cry out unto you. Give them grace, Lord, that they might look to you in their time of need. And for any who may not know you, Lord, which I'm sure there are many, of those who've lost such great losses, had such terrible storm to sweep through their lives, we pray for them and we pray that you might comfort and bless them. Others, Lord, other folks who have gone through all kinds of trouble and who are maybe right now going through any kind of trouble in this life, that troubles that they think that they can't, that there's no hope, and that they're in utter despair. We just pray that you would help, that we would be a testimony, that we would be the lighthouse, that we would be, Lord, that comforting word, that word, Lord, that will listen, that will hear, and that will seek to just be a comfort, be a benefit to other folk. Ask your blessings now. Your will would be done in each of our lives, that you'd help us, Lord, to be what you'd have us to be, and comfort us, Lord, with others. And we're thankful, Lord, for the lighthouse of the folks that testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we praise you, Lord, for the churches across this country who are testifying of your truth. And Lord, we just pray that you might bless us all, that we would be a clear instruments in your hands to the salvation of lost souls, the calling forth of your lost sheep. But also, Lord, that you'd help us to be instruments of comfort and help and strength to fellow brethren that we have who need your grace and that need your comfort. We ask your blessings now. Your will would be done in each of our lives. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.